Danny West is on with us right now. Hey, Danny, how you doing today?
Doing great, buddy. How are y'all?
I am terrific. I understand you were busy between 2 and 3 o'clock when we initially thought that you'd be joining us, and I guess that's not a surprise on the eve of National Signing Day. What were you up to?
It's crazy. They actually got a new commitment at about 2 o'clock today, a linebacker named Kendrick Jackson out of Hainesville, Louisiana. He chose Arkansas over Arizona, which is where he initially planned to go to school, but he actually decommitted from Arizona on Sunday and made his decision today, so he is number 22 for this year's class.
22. And how are they splitting that between each side of the ball? How many on offense, how many on D this year?
I think it's pretty even so far. They really wanted to focus in on more defensive players this year, and they've done a good job of getting a whole bunch of them on board. So pretty well-balanced class in terms of numbers on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, 433-1037 if you got your question for Danny West. And I'm looking forward, Danny, to getting to see a little film on these players. I want to say it's Thursday down here, signing day in the Rock.
Yeah.
And usually I can tell, if this player needs to redshirt, if he's going to be able to start as a true freshman, just whatever. When you see the film on these guys, what is your take right now on, 4, 5, 6 of them you think are going to play next year? More than that, how many redshirt, how many do you think step in? Because it's kind of a veteran team next year.
Yeah, no, it's really hard to put a number on that, but I'll definitely give it a try. There are a few guys who kind of stick out in my mind as guys who can come in and help you right away. I think on the defensive line, you lose Trey Flowers. They go out and sign a big 4-star defensive lineman and Jeremiah Ledbetter out of junior college. I think he's a guy. He's already up here, so he'll be able to go through spring ball. Yalda Froholt, even though he's a true freshman, he doesn't look like one. He's about 6'5", 290, really big kid who may be able to help in the defensive line on the interior part of the line. You lose Darius Filon. Again, you're going to need somebody to step up there. Just going through it, maybe Jalen Merrick, offensive lineman, can come in and provide some depth. Not saying he'll start, but really talented guy. I think Zach Rogers will maybe push to possibly get into the rotation a little bit at guard or center. And then from there, I think you always look at linebackers right now because of the depth at Arkansas. They've only got 5 scholarship linebackers on campus. So a couple of those true freshmen there, and then you never know in the back end, in the secondary, there could be a guy or two there that steps up.
And we had some live fan feedback. It says, Hawk fan in South Arkansas, why does Rivals only have us with 21 commitments? What'd they say? They updated Kendrick, but it still only has us with 21. Is that number still at 21 right now?
Here's the deal, guys. You got Josh Allen, who was a 2014 graduate last year. He actually signed with North Carolina, didn't make it into school there, kind of reopened his recruitment this summer, and eventually chose Arkansas. He's actually on campus now, but we have what's called a left the game of football rule in Rivals. And the reason they have it is because when a kid sits out for a full year, you don't know how much weight he's put on or how he's treated
right,
his body.
He's in shape, yeah.
We can't really count him in this year's class, unfortunately, because he would probably boost your ranking a little bit.
I got you. All right.
I heard earlier today, Danny, that somebody referred to the amount of was it 5-star or 4-star recruits that played in the Super Bowl, and it was none. I think it was 5-star recruits. None.
Really?
None, not
wow.
One. But my retort to that is, all right, well, how many played in the national championship football game?
I would say Marshawn Lynch was at least a 4-star coming out of high school. But
yeah,
there were a bunch of 4-stars,
but I don't think there was a single 5-star guy.
There certainly were those in the national championship
game,
though.
Ohio State had 51 4- and 5-stars. Oregon had 30-something. 4- and 5-stars. I think that's I heard him say the number, and it was just, I couldn't believe Ohio State had 20 more 4- and 5-stars than Oregon.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Dan, I wonder, what do you think of the system of, 4-star, 5-star, 3-star? How much weight do you put on the number of stars that each recruit gets? Does it mean much?
Well, I think there's something to it. I think it's a pretty good gauge of what kind of talent a team has. If not, you see Alabama every year, they're at the top of the list, 4- and 5-star guys. Ohio State, Oregon's always up there. And these are teams that were playing for a national championship this year. So I do think there's something to it, but, and, you know, I got to be careful because of who I work for. But, you know, I think when you get down to decimal points and trying to put a decimal point on someone's heart and the amount of hard work they put in, I think it's impossible. You know, Dre Greenlaw versus KJ Hill earlier this year, Dre Greenlaw is a 5.73 star, and he goes up over KJ and makes an incredible interception. So for that one given play, you know, your 5.73 star is better than the 4 star. So I think it's really hard to put a really exact number on some of these guys.
Yeah, I think your 5 stars, and you do this for a living, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. To me, the 5 stars, and I'll use a basketball player, but Malik Monk, you know, the 5 stars to me are easier to see. It's those 3 and 4 to me that are almost kind of the same. I could see a 3-star and think he's a 4 and see a 4 and think he's a 3. Those, to me, that's to the toughest part. Is that the toughest part for you? And then what?
Absolutely. Yeah,
what position is the toughest part for you to evaluate?
I think quarterback. You know, believe it or not, you know, you see a lot of, especially with the new systems nowadays, that, you know, kids are just lining up in the shotgun and winging it all over the field. It's really hard to get a real good feel for, you know, how they sometimes react to being under pressure, how they read defenses as opposed to just lining up and knowing exactly where they're going to throw it. Quarterbacks can be really tough for me.
Yeah, and the speed of where they play, I mean, yeah, that's, yeah, I'm with you there. What do we got? Ask Danny, what do you read into Coach B's tweets? Because it seems like he's been pretty vocal in a lot of tweets the last few days.
Yeah, I know he put out one earlier. It was a picture of a restaurant named KJ's Bar and Grill or something.
Oh, I like it.
Coach has a sense of humor.
Kind of read into the whole KJ Hill aspect, but I think you also have to remember he was about an hour away from picking up a Kendrick Jackson commitment, who also goes by the nickname KJ. So you never know with Brett.
Sounds to me like there might have been some dual meaning there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Fans can go to hogsports.com to get a list of all the Razorback commitments. That includes anybody that has signed a letter of intent and those who have committed orally but not yet actually signed. Now, the signing period lasts through, what is it, 3 weeks? Is it through the end of the month of February?
I want to say it's a little bit longer than that unless they changed it. But, yeah, you've got a few weeks regardless.
And we had Wally in earlier talking about Ohio State. They're already to their number 25. They're still on 4 other guys. And if they do get 4 other guys, that would put them 8 players over the allotment. Is Arkansas going to go over? And when something like that happens, do they take a scholarship away, or do you have sophomores and juniors usually transfer?
Well, the numbers are always bearable. You know, they
right.
vary every year. I don't expect Arkansas to even come close to over-signing. But when a school does that, a lot of times they have room left over from the previous year. So Ohio State may have undersigned last year, and now they're able to add 3 or 4 more this year. So it's kind of it's a unique deal for each different school. But, you know, looking at it right now, I think Arkansas, the most they would sign this year is 25, and I'm really expecting around 24.
Well, and that's how we got Darius Filon, if I'm correct.
Absolutely.
Alabama oversigned. Any teams in the SEC that have players that are looking at the Hogs that, you know, if we do sign 24, we have an extra scholarship that you could see not going to that school if they oversign?
You know, I have to be careful, but I will say this. The one I know about is not in the SEC.
Gotcha.
Danny, I want to ask about wide receivers that are still in the signing class, because obviously so much of the publicity went to KJ Hill, and maybe he's coming, maybe he's not, who knows. But on your list, I just see 2 other wide receivers. And obviously nobody's going to – can't have the impact of maybe what Hill could have had or still might have. But who's left as far as wide receiver recruits?
I think you have to keep a close eye on Dominique Reed. He's a junior college guy. He's originally from Camden, Arkansas. And this kid has just totally blown up over the last couple of months or so. He's taken official trips to Arizona State, Texas, and Auburn in the last 3 weeks, so obviously some big schools are after him right now. But based on what I'm hearing, I still like Arkansas's chances. Not saying it's a done deal or a guarantee or anything like that, but I do like where they're at with him right now. He's a guy, he may not be able to enroll at Arkansas or wherever he ends up until next summer, but he's, 6'4", 175 pounds, and runs a 4.35. He's worth the wait if you can get him. So if they can get him, they'd definitely love to sign him tomorrow.
433-1037, 800-477-1037 if you got a question for Danny, because it seems like we'll get some questions as the show goes on, and you won't be here. So 433-1037. So where do we rank now in this recruiting class? Where do you think we end up? Top 25, do we crack into the teens?
Right now they're at number 22. If you look at the average star ranking, which is sometimes what I prefer to look at, right now they're at 19th in the nation. So pretty good spot to be in. You've got some National Signing Day decisions coming tomorrow. Toby Weathersby, a big four-star offensive tackle. Not as confident as I was on him, but, you're still in the mix there. He's a guy that could really boost you up into the, like you said, maybe the teens, high teens, something like that. But Dominique Reed, I think, is a guy who could help you in terms of a ranking. And then you never know. Brandon Scott, defensive back, he's going to make his decision known in the morning, somewhere around 8 o'clock, I believe. And I think he might be able to boost your ranking a little bit.
All right. We got a... We got Joe from Darnell. Joe.
Hey, Matt, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a question for your guest. Knowing what recruits we got, do me a small favor. Project next year's outcome for me with what's coming in.
All right, thanks, Joe.
Well, that's a loaded question, but just looking at it on paper, I think running back is really going to be a key next year. I think you could see them try to sign three at least next year. They only signed one this year, only got one last year. You got Jay Will getting on up in age now. Alex Collins obviously will have the opportunity anyway to go pro after this year. So you've got to replenish that depth a little bit. Offensive tackle, if you get Weathersby tomorrow, then, you might only sign one less next year. But I think it'll be another big group of offensive and defensive linemen. And then in the back end, I think they'll probably load up at cornerback again.
What are your thoughts? Have you been able to talk with the new offensive coordinator? Are to any of the players how receptive they've been? Or has he been – I know you've been busy. So kind of what's the feel, I guess, with the players?
They haven't really made him available to us yet.
Gotcha.
I think we'll get a shot to talk to him tomorrow. But I did hear that he actually went to the homes of all the quarterbacks on campus to meet all of their families, which I thought was a
smart,
pretty nice touch, pretty yeah. cool deal for him to – take some of his personal time out and go meet those people is, pretty nice.
Is there any chance KJ Hill goes to Arkansas?
Well, I won't say there's zero chance, but I do think it's a really slim chance right now. Just based on everything we're hearing, Alabama's still out there. Ohio State obviously seems like a favorite all of a sudden, but Arkansas hasn't given up on him, I'll tell you that. And, but it would really come as a surprise tomorrow if he were to pick Arkansas.
All right, now to the serious stuff. What did you think about the Super Bowl?
I loved it. Loved it.
Did you see now Dan Conley, I don't know where exactly he's from, but he was at Arkansas for a year and then went to SMS. Is that correct?
I couldn't tell you. I have no idea.
I want to say he was – I remember him maybe for a semester or something, and he was starting for the Patriots offensive line. So, yeah. Okay. The other serious question, who is the athlete when you were growing up you remember on your Wheaties box?
Ooh, I think it'd have to be Jordan. I mean, I don't remember all of them. Was Dominique Wilkins on it?
I think he would have been. I think he won a dunk contest.
The Dream Team, too, was on it, I think.
Pretty
so
sure they were.
So, yeah.
I feel like I remember Dominique Wilkins for some reason.
I'm Jordan, and then Phil, who are you?
Mary Lou Retton.
Mary Lou Retton.
Put an age limit on me right there with Mary Lou,
and then Mrs. Bruce Jenner. Am I saying his last name right, Jenner?
Yeah.
Jenner.
Oh yeah.
What are do you remember him as decathlete? He was before my time.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly as I remembered him, and I think he might have been. Was he the first athlete that went on the Wheaties box? I thought he might have been.
Wow.
He might have been the first. Anyway, hey Danny, where are you going to be tomorrow? I mean, tomorrow are you kind of going all over the place, or are you sticking in one spot? Where are you camping out?
I'll start out right here at home. I'll be up at about 4:30 in the morning, start getting everything prepared, and I'll be here throughout most of the day, hopefully, until I guess Bielema has a press conference at 2:00, so I'll run up there.
And you said we were 22nd overall. Where does that put us in the SEC? Are we top 10 at least in the SEC?
Yeah, top 10. I want to say around 8 or 9th
wow,
right now.
Wow, 22 in the nation.
That tells you a lot. Yeah. You can be number 20, 21 in the country and still only be 8 or 9th in the SEC. Think about that for a second.
Is there any thought to, like, if Kentucky offers a player, all of a sudden he's a McDonald's All-American, all of a sudden he's this and that. If SEC schools offer a player, do you think recruiting services give him a higher grade?
I would hope not. You know, I can tell you this. I don't do that. Do I look at offers? Absolutely. It's something that gets my attention and maybe makes me take another look at a kid. But, you know, I've never thought that it should come down to offers. I think all of us are paid to make our own evaluations, and that's just the way I see it. And for the most part, I think we all try to do that. I hope so anyway.
Danny, we had Kyle Deckelbaum of Channel 7 in earlier talking about the effect of social media on National Signing Day, and he was doing it more on the perspective of of the coaches and the players. But I wonder on your end and on the recruiting services end, has it made your job any more difficult or any easier when you're able to follow some of the recruits on social media and learn about them?
I'll tell you this, it's becoming harder and harder these days for a recruiting writer to actually break a commitment, because most of the time the kid will say, you know, hey, I'm going to make my decision known next Tuesday, and I'm going to do it via Twitter. So, I mean, most of them nowadays are broken on social media, so it's really, from that aspect, it does kind of make your job a little bit more difficult, but easier at the same time, because that way you know exactly when a kid is going to announce, and you can kind of prepare for that.
How important is it to you?
A little bit of both.
Well, how important is it to you to actually be the one who is breaking the story? I know in journalism it's a pretty important thing. You know, you're in journalism. You know, it's very focused on recruiting. But how important is actually breaking that story to your industry?
Well, I think you'd always try to be first. You know, I think any journalist is going to take pride in being first. But I try to worry more about being accurate. You know what I mean? It's great if you can be both. But you know, I've seen people before that put out information, you know, in 1 minute, and the next minute they're having to take it down because it wasn't accurate. So I would rather be second and be right about something than be first and be wrong.
Now, I mean, for the whole month, I mean, this isn't just National Signing Day tomorrow. You kind of got to be on your toes for the entire month during this signing period, because some of these will all the commitments be made tomorrow, the guys that are on the list on the front page of hogsports.com, or will some of them make some decisions in the coming weeks?
No, I think it'll all be in the books tomorrow. You're going to have some guys throughout the nation, like, I guess, was it Braxton Miller or the old Ohio State quarterback
Braxton
that went
Miller?
To Oakland?
Oh, T.J. Pryor.
Yeah. He's the one who stretched it out like 2 or 3 months after.
Terrell Pryor, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Terrell Pryor. But, yeah, for the most part, I think they'll probably 95% of them will be done tomorrow.
Sweet. Well, Danny, looks like a little quiet on the radio. Well, I'm sure they'll be going crazy tomorrow, though. So,
I mean, you've got National Signing Day in the Rock on Thursday. I know a lot of people are very interested in getting the coach's perspective on it. I mean, they can talk about some of these recruits, I guess, before National Signing Day, but can they go into, you know, full detail on the things that they like and they don't like about them?
After they sign, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, after they sign, you'll get every thought that they have. Well, maybe not every thought, but you'll get most of it.
Well, you can go to hogsports.com. Of course, that's H-A-W-G, sports.com, to learn more about who Danny thinks the Razorbacks will be signing tomorrow. He actually, right there, has Kendrick Jackson, who we just talked about, out of Hainesville, Louisiana, a linebacker who's going to join the Razorbacks for next season. He's right there on the front page. And again, that's hogsports.com. Danny, thanks again for your time.
Bet, man. Appreciate it.